an interesting story in the book of Isaiah. I mean, it's almost right there in the middle of it, in Isaiah 38. It has to do with King Hezekiah. And I guess I've heard this preached, you know, several times through my life. And I don't know whether I've ever preached it before. And I don't know that I'll preach it this morning, but I do want to cover it with you. How's that say? King Hezekiah. 38. He got sick. And I'm going to leave the background to you. You can go to 1 Kings and and Chronicles, and you can find the background of Hezekiah. Even go back to chapter 37. And bad thing about trying to review and catch up is you'll spend more time reviewing and catching up than you will tending to what you want to look at. I'm just going to tell you, he's king of Israel. He's been a good king for the most part. And Isaiah is one of his friends. I guess if you have Isaiah as your friend, that can't be bad, can it? Yeah. But there came a time of crisis in his life. Y'all never experienced anything like that, so I know you won't know what we're talking about when you talk about crisis. Difficulties, heartaches, disappointments. And really, he came face to face with the end of his life. It says in Isaiah 38 verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." I mean, this is over. Hezekiah, it is over. And thinking about these things this week, I thought about what's it going to be like when it comes my turn. Yeah, you know, it's...
I believe every man
is. Yeah. Well, you know, and if there's anything sure about this life is that it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after that the judgment. Mm-hmm. We all think about it.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be a day of sorrow to us, not the people of God. Mm-hmm. And anyway, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Sometimes the Bible is so majestic in what it has to say. You're going to die and not live. It reminds me of a couple of stories I'd tell if I was, maybe it was out the cotton patch someplace, but we'll just go on with what we got here. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Okay, you're going to die, Hezekiah. Get your house in order. And look, it says, and he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. What better way to get your house in order? What are you going to do to get your house in order? I would suggest to do what Hezekiah did. Pray to the Lord. Now, Hezekiah is going to pray not to die, as we'll read here. Verse 3 says, "And said," he turned and prayed the Lord, "and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, how many of us can really say, if I'm going to talk to God, I'm not going to tell him how good I am? And I'm not saying Hezekiah is wrong for doing that. But, you know, if I'm going to talk to God and he's telling me I'm going to die, I'm probably going to do some repenting. if he gives me the grace to do it. But that's pretty good. "I beseech thee, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth." Man, what a testimony. What a testimony. Hey, how in what condition would you rather die in than this condition right here?
Amen.
Hey, get me while I'm perfect. take me on while my heart's right with you. Don't snatch me out of here on a bad day. Take me when things are well between you and me. That's really verse 3. That's the way I want to die right there. Again, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee," I'm asking you to do this, "how I have walked, how I have lived before thee, in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." and Hezekiah wept sore. Now, I'm not going to say that he didn't do all those things. God's not calling him a liar. God said, well, yeah, almost, Hezekiah. But remember this. God doesn't do anything. So I think there's a confirmation here that Hezekiah was a lot like David.
Yeah.
A lot like David. I have walked before thee in truth. That would be a good way to be ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
Walk before God in truth. In fact, as I make application of this in just a few moments, I think that's what we're taught in the Scriptures. That's the best way to be ready to die, is to walk before God in truth with a perfect heart, a broken and a contrite heart that He will not deny. And have done that which is good in thy sight. Boy, that's something. What a testimony. I have done what is good in the sight of the Lord. And really, is that not the ultimate expression of life itself? Mm-hmm. That is the application of grace and mercy. Is it not to walk before God in those things that He says is good?
Mm-hmm.
And yet Hezekiah wept sore. You're going to die, Hezekiah. Get your house in order. And he does what he needs to do to accomplish just that. And verse 4 says, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee, unto thy days, 15 years. Now, God does not deny anything he says about himself in verse 3. What a testimony. So I'm going to give you 15 years. Verse 6 says, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Not only am I going to save you, but I'm going to save the people. And I'm going to stand against your enemies and the enemies of your people all these days. And I'm going to deliver you out of their hands. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that He has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees that is gone down in the sun dial of Ahaz. 10 degrees backward, I'm going to bring it back. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. I'm going to back up the day 10 degrees. You're going to get to, not only am I going to let you have 15 years, I'm going to back this thing up about whatever it is, an hour and a half, and you're going to get an extra hour and a half to boot. So he backs up the sundial. Can you imagine what that was like?
Yeah.
That's taking the whole universe and just turning it backwards. That's what you got to do to do that. It's not just the sun, not just our solar system, not just our part of the Milky Way, not just the Milky Way itself, but the hundreds of millions of light years of creation from the beginning of it to the end of it, from one side to the other. God just turns it back. Behold, he says in verse 8, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees. I'm going to move them back. Then in verse 9, we have Hezekiah's response to this. So God tells him he's going to die. He prays to God. God sends Hezekiah and says, I'm going to give you 15 years. And God tells him, here's how you'll know you'll get the 15 years. And God did it, just like He said He would do it. Has God not said, and will He not do it? In verse 9 says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick, and was recovered of his sickness. Now he's going to speak. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. Now let me ask you a question. If we die today in perfect health, has God deprived us of anything? Now Hezekiah is expressing what's in his heart here. Being honest. You see, he thought he had more to go than what God said he had. I wonder if we think like that. Verse 11 says, "And I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world." Here's what I'm going to miss. Fellowship of God in the land of the living, and also with the living in the land of the living. Verse 12, "Mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove, mine eyes fall or fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath spoke, he hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul." Now, I'm not sure what that means, but this thing did have a very profound effect on Hezekiah. I mean, as far as he is concerned, in verse 3, he was as good as dead. That's another thing. Has God said it? Will he not bring it to pass? "But I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live." Now he's giving God thanks. I was as good as dead. Now you've made me alive, as it were, again, all over. "Behold," verse 17, "for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." And notice this, "for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Now that's kind of a contrast to this up there where he says, "I have walked in before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And then he says, when God restored him, healed him up, and gave him his life back, he says, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." For a child of God, when it comes to living for God with a perfect heart and walking in God's truth, and also needing your sins to be cast behind his back, it's not either or, it's both and. There's always that constant dichotomy between righteousness and unrighteousness, between obedience and disobedience, between faith and unbelief, and right on down the line. It's one of those things we have to deal with constantly. And if we don't deal with it, then the evil will win and the good will never be known. Verse 18 says, "For the grave cannot praise thee. Amen. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." It's the living. And in Christ, we live and move and have our being, do we not? And Jesus said, "I want to tell you for a truth. He who believes in me shall never die." Verse 19, the living shall praise thee. "As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth." It's living people who do that. Yeah. And let me tell you this. Those people who are not doing it, they may be alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. Verse 20, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." God gave him his life. He worships. For Isaiah had said, "Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also said, Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Now, I'm not sure all that means. It'll take a little more study to try to figure that out. But, you know, just those common things, anxieties about God answering prayer. You know, we can be anxious over the promises of God. I don't know about you, but I've been that way several times. Well, is God really going to do this? He said He would. And then very quickly, let me cover the next 8 verses in Isaiah 39 and make a couple of words of application, then we'll take time to pray together this morning. Now at that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Now this is before Babylon was anything. They were just coming up. And Hezekiah was glad of them. He was glad that somebody cared about him, especially a monarch of an up-and-coming nation, and showed them the house of his precious things. You know, he got real excited. He said, well, you know, this is good to have you. Let me show you something. The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Now, is anything wrong with that? Not necessarily.
No.
You know, I don't... You know, Hezekiah's not... And he's excited about being alive. So he does all this. He shows the son of Baladan all of these things. And verse 3 says, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then he said, then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. None shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And they said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. I think that's pretty cold, but that's just me thinking. If Hezekiah had died, would there have been anybody to show these men this stuff? Or would they have come from Babylon to visit with him? And if Hezekiah would have died, would God still have turned Israel over to Babylon? Yeah, He would have.
Yeah.
There's nothing lost here.
No.
Hezekiah's life was an occasion to show the sovereign power of God in all, in every way.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, he made a big mistake and been better if he had died rather than live. What if God gave you everything you wanted? You'd really be in a fix.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. The problem is you don't get it from that text. I think as you look at the text, what you're doing is you're seeing that God is intricately involved in the lives of His people. The very thing you talked about this morning in building up His people. And He's doing it all to His glory. And whatever He does with His people, He's preparing them for the day when they will meet Him. And between now and then, He is making them fit in which for Him to live and demonstrate His power.
Without spot.
Without spot. I think what we've got here in these two chapters is a very real picture of what it means to have a relationship to God in the good times as well as the bad. And it's amazing how serious we can be and how thoroughly committed to God we can be when things are not going well. Now, I don't know why Hezekiah showed these men all that he did. But I do know this, that when he showed those men what he did show them, he didn't feel that his life was in jeopardy. And he didn't have the weight of burden and care on his heart. And evidently, it was something he really didn't need to do, but he did something he really didn't need to do because he may have been a little less cautious in watching over his own heart with all diligence, understanding that out of it flowed the issues of life. Now, nobody had told him he couldn't show people what he had. You're not going to find that. But in the presence of these men, he thought, you know what? They've come to do me a good turn. I can show them some friendship. And in a moment of friendship, he shows them all these things. And it was an occasion for God to come back to the king one more time. And the king representing the people over which he ruled, and to say to them, one of these days, everything you've got is going to be in Babylon.
Opened the way up for Isaiah to testify.
That's it. Now, Hezekiah was thankful as though it wasn't going to happen in his day. But, you know, let's say for us that we had, God came to us and said, okay, you got a few more days to live. What would it be to you if you were on death's door and God came back with mercy and delivered you from death's door and allowed you to live another 15 years? Well, let's ask the Apostle Paul. Paul, what would it be to you if God gave you more time than maybe you expect? And Paul might answer that question out of Galatians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 19. He'd say, well, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, I'm going to live for God not to earn my way, but to prove my way. I'm not alive anymore. So if I get 15 years or 15 minutes, for me to live is Christ, Philippians 1, verse 21, and to die is gain. Now I will say this, Hezekiah thought it was over. And that's the difference in that revelation we're talking about. But with Paul, he knew it wasn't over. He knew that if he lived, it was Christ to live in him. And if he died, it was gain. Now, I like the way he puts it here. How many times have we heard this verse quoted? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
And from now on, I live by faith in him. And so whatever comes, glory be to His name. Whatever comes. What if we were in Hezekiah's state? Could we say with the apostle, this is the way it is? It really is For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. And I'm going to live that life that is reflective of God, because if I'm alive and I belong to Him, that's exactly what I'll do. It's not a matter of my choice, it's His choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What a tremendous testimony this is. He says in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Again, Paul, what would it be for you to live longer? For the love of Christ constrains us, or me, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all. And why did he die for us? That we should no longer henceforth live under ourselves or themselves, but under Him which died for them and rose again. If you're going to live, it must be Christ in you. Why am I living? Would it not be better to go on and be with the Lord than to be here? Sometimes I wonder if that's really what we think. If Hezekiah just went ahead and died, I think he'd have liked it a lot better. Now you can take that and it still cost you $5 to buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but nonetheless. It's better to be with Christ. But as long as we're here, we don't live for ourselves. It's not what we can get out of it, or what we can enjoy, or what we can have, or who we can see, or what we can accomplish. Who cares?
Yeah.
And if you do care, you really need to take another look at what it means to be a Christian. Paul says this in Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 7. This is a chapter that deals with Christian liberty. Boy, it has a lot to do with living and dying too. Verse 7, chapter 14, he says this. And none of us lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die in the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And you know, when it comes to life, life is not so important with regard to who possesses it. But it's really important as to who possesses us in it. Who possesses us? Who do we belong to? Are we the Lord's? He says in verse 9, "For this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living." And isn't that the difference? That it's who you with when you're living and who are you with after you die. Friends, I don't know. Hadn't been there yet. If I had, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. But I can't help but believe, upon the balance of the testimony of Scripture, that once we cross that Jordan, we're not going to be looking back. We're not going to be looking back. I think one of the happiest days we'll ever experience, if not the very happiest, is the day we walk from this life into the next one. We breathe our last, the heart quits beating, and the mind's gone, and we're gone too. We're gone clean to glory. What a great thing that is. Now, to be in a state where we can look forward to being with God, where we can say, "For me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live the life, but the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me." And this whole thing of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and now Romans 14 can be summed up. If you really want to live now, you better have it fixed for later. I think of what Jesus had to say in Matthew 16 and Mark 8 and then in Luke 9 that I want to turn you to, beginning at verse 23. And He sums up not only the responsibility of a disciple, but also the victory of every twice-born, blood-bought child of the living God. When he says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is the responsibility of the child of God. If you're going to follow Christ, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him daily. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. And He explains why. If I'm going to live another day, it's got to be in light of Christ and what He's done for me. It's got to be toward the glory of Christ and the expression of the whole impact of the gospel. For whosoever will save his life, verse 24, shall lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged, or what does he gain? If he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away. Those other texts, the parallel texts, Matthew 16 and Mark 8. If he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into his own glory and his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, that there are some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, man, we could go for hours on that one, couldn't we? But the main thing is, if God gives us 15 minutes, 15 days, 15 years, whatever He may give us ahead, what are we going to do with it? Well, I'll tell you, you'll have the same sentiments as the apostle, and you'll have the same sentiments as the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll live for Him and not yourself if He gives you another 30 seconds. And that's what He saved you for.